Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Atshalom. We're now in Masechet Bechorot Daf Gimel Amud Bet at the bottom of the Amud, beginning the second half of Mishnah Aleph, which was separated out here. Kohanim ulevim pturin mikal v'chomer. That's unclear what they're exempt from. For right now, we'll assume that it means their donkeys don't have to be granted or redeemed. And what's the kal v'chomer? In patru et shel Yisrael b'midbar, if they were able to exempt the animals of Yisrael b'midbar, dinu shiftru et shel atzman, they should be able to exempt themselves. Now, it's a little unclear what this is talking about, but just a little bit of historic background is that at some point in the Midbar, during the first year after the Exodus, we were directed, as you see at the beginning of Parshat Bamidbar, to set up a census, and then to swap all of the Bechorot for the Bechorot of, for the Levim, and our Bechorot of Behemot for theirs. So let's take a look. Inu Patri, do they really exempt? Adam Adam Patar Behma Behma Patra. A person exempted a Bechor, and a Levi's animal exempted the animals. Dichtiv, Kachat Alvim Tachat Bechor Bnei Yisrael, and Mat Alvim Tachat Behem Tam. So what does it mean? Amar Baye, first answer. Hachi Kamar, Kohanim Levim Pturin Behem Tam Bikal Bechomer. That their animals are exempt. Why? Mifkiya Behem Tam Shalavim Behem Ashal Yisrael Behem Bar, as we just saw, their animals could exempt the animals of Yisrael. Dinush Tafkiya Shalatzvan, certainly they should exempt themselves. Their own animals, meaning. Okay, Amalei Rava. Rava turns to Abai and says, "Vaha patru inu ketani." The Mishnah didn't say patru behemot, patru themselves. V'odim eat, if that's true, then what you say? Then if the mechor behemot Torah nifteru, then levim should also not have to sanctify or deal with the firstborn of their sheep and oxen mechor behemot Torah. But that's not true. Alamatnan, as we see later on in Perak Bet, lo yiftru b'mchor b'imat ha'ora, lo yiftru b'aben pitach ha'mor. The Levim are exempt from pidyon ha'aben, from humans, and pitach ha'mor, but not b'imat ha'ora. So your reasoning, Abaye, doesn't hold up. Elam, Rava, Rava says what the Mishnah means is ha'chiktani. Kohanim u'levim patru hein atzman mikal v'chomer, meaning the second half of this Mishnah is not about pitach ha'mor, it's about children. That Levihonim Levim themselves are exempt. Why? If the Levim were able to stand instead and redeem the sanctity of the Bechorot of Israel in the desert, certainly they exempt themselves. Now, Ashkechan Adam, all that tells us, based on the Kal V'chomer, is that that Levim are patur from Pidyon Adam. Behemat Me'ah Menal. And how do we know that they're exempt from Behemat Me'ah? In other words, chamor. Amar kra ach padot tifteh b'chor hadam et b'chor meimat tatmiyat tifteh. The Torah equates the two or juxtaposes the two, meaning kol sheishno b'chor hadam yishno b'chor meimat meyah b'chor sheino b'chor hadam elu b'chor meimat meyah. So if you're obligated to deal with b'chor hadam, which means you're not a Levi, then you're obligated to deal with obligated to deal with Petach Hamor, and if not, then not, and therefore since they are not obligated in Bechor Adam, they're exempt from Petach Hamor. Okay, that's the layout. Rabaye Rava. Now I'm a Rav Safra Labaye. Rav Safra turns to Abaye and says, Ladidach Tam Rat Bem Tam, you think the Mishnah is talking about Bem Tam. So Ben Levi Dehavile said to Afka Lifka, if a Ben Levi himself had a say in the Midbar that exempted, that means this Levi's animals had that power, then he should not have to have his own chamor be sanctified. But the law they said to Lifka lo Lifka. But if he didn't have a seh, meaning he never really exercised that power, then his chamor should be chayiv. And Bein Ludach Bein the Rava, and you and Rava have this following challenge, Ben Chodesh to Afka and humans. If somebody was already a month old, then they exempted. But Lifka, Pachod Lifka. Then Pachod Ben Chodesh to lo Afka, but somebody was less than a month old at the time, which is everybody alive today, because they didn't exist, to Lafka Lolifka. It's based on your reasoning, both you and Rava's reasoning, that it's about the individual Levi's power and ability to exempt, that it shouldn't work at all. So, and then the third question is Levi Alotifka. A woman Levi who has a baby, meaning it's a bat Levi, should not be able to exempt, because Alam Arvada Ba'ava, Levi Ashielda Ba'ava, Apatur Michal Yisraelim, we saw this at the end of Chulin recently, that if a bat Levi has a child, even though the husband's not a Levi, the kid is patur from Pidyon HaBen. So the answer is Halokasha. That one we could dispense with. Kedemar Breda Rav Yosef, Shreda Rav, the Amar, Petar Rechem, the Torah talks about Petar Rechem, that which opens the womb. But Petar Rechem Tala Achmana, the Torah made it about opening the womb, which means it's about the mother. Okay, that part we got. Well, we have a fourth question here. So questions 1 to Abaye, 2 to Abaye and Rava have been answered. Question 3 we answered. Question 4, V'Aharon Shloya Boto Minyan Lolivka, Aharon, who was not counted among the Levim in the Midbar, should not himself, his own animal, should be chayev. Why? The Tanya Lamana Kudal Aharon, there are diacritical marks over the word Aharon in Paragimel, as I put on the page with that other font, so you could see the marks. Why is Aaron's name dotted? To say he wasn't counted among the Levim. He was one of the counters, but not the countees. So therefore, he should not be exempt. In other words, Rav Safra is pinpointing that both Abai and Rav are making it about the individual Levi's power. So if you weren't there, or you weren't counted, or you were a woman, etc., then you shouldn't have that power. So Amar Kra Halavim, therefore the Torah says, Halavim, Hukshuk Halavim Zelaza, all of them are in one group. And therefore, even if they were there, they weren't there, they're older, they're younger, they had animals, didn't have animals, they all can exempt. All right. And that'll include Aaron. Now, Kohanim the Menalim, but how do we know it applies to any Kohanim? Forget Aaron. There's 24 places in Tanakh where the Kohanim are referred to as Levim. And as an example, the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Kohanim Alvim B'nei Tzadok. So therefore, when we say Halavim as a group, it includes Kohanim. Udorot Menalan, how do we know that all of these rules apply with Dorot and not just at one time in the desert? Amakra Vayuli Halvim. Hashem says the Levim belong to me. What does Vayu mean? Pavayatonyo. They stay consistent, meaning whatever they do now, they do later. Okay. And now we might have a seh. How do we know that they used a seh to redeem the Petach Hamor at that time in the desert? So Amar Chista Nemar Kesef Dorot Nemar Selador, because the Torah commands us for generations to redeem children with 5 slaim of money, of silver, and talks about a seh for generations for Petach Hamor. And now he equates Ma Kesef Mo Dorot Bo Padulot Padulotos Sha'ah, just like Kesef, which was the permanent thing, was also used that one time in the desert. So Afsem Mo Dorot Bo Padulot Padulot Tos Sha'ah. Similarly, the seh that the Torah commands us for generations to use must have been also what was used at that point. Now, all he's doing here is using reasoning, not a pasuk, and that's going to be the critical issue here. So we challenge him by saying, Mala Kesef, Shken Podin Bo Hakdushin Ma'aser Sheni. Kesef is a far more powerful tool of pidyon than is a seh, which only works here. Kesef is used to redeem Hekdesh, Ma'aser Sheni. So therefore, just because Kesef was used not only for generations, but then, doesn't mean that the seh that was used for generations was used then. Maybe Kesef was used then. We saw this pasuk already. The Torah equates redeeming the children and b'chor be'mat me'ah. We use that to exempt the levim from petach hamor. And now we use it differently. Just like b'chor adam, we do not distinguish between the way it's done for generations and the way it was done that time with kesef. Similarly, the redemption of Beimat Me'ah of Chamor is Lo Tachlok Bo Bein Dorot Bein Lo Tasha'ah B'seh. We do not distinguish, we say, just like for generations, also at that time it was done with a Seh. Okay, last piece of this podcast, Rav Chanina. Seh Achad Shel Ben Levi Patar Kama Pitrei Chamorim Yisrael. Back in those days, at that time, if a Ben Levi had one Seh, it could be used for several firstborn Chamorim to do the transfer. It doesn't have to be equal value, it doesn't have to be equal number. Rabbi Teda, Abaye says, you're right, and I'll prove it. The Torah counted the surplus b'chorot of people, didn't count surplus b'chorot of animals. So, who says that's a proof? Maybe there weren't as many animals as there were b'chor animals of the Levim. So that's why there's no surplus, because there is no surplus. Maybe it was a one-on-one ratio, and that's how it played out. So lo sakadai, don't think so. We hear the Bnei Ruven with God had lots and lots of cattle. It's of course what led to them requesting the East Bank. So therefore, we assume that there were more b'chorot among theirs than there were regular animals among the Levim. But who says? Maybe there were as many regular animals of the Levim as there were b'chorot of the animals of Israel. So how do we know that Rav Chanina is correct to say that one seh could have been used for multiple chamorim? So Amar Krav et behemat halvim tachat behemtam. Look at the language. We redeem the behemat halvim singular in place of their behemot plural. Behemachat tachat behemot harbe. Behemah rabba. Maybe behemah here is just like at the very end of Sefer Yonah, where it refers to all the animals as behemah, in the singular, in the collective, as we call it. Like Yaakov says to Esav, Ahili shor v'chamor, which means lots of oxen, lots of donkeys. So the answer is, you're right, but imkein lichtov kra, o behemah tachat behemah, o behemtam tachat behemtam, then let the Torah be consistent. And say behemah for behemah, meaning collective, or behemtam tachat behemtam, meaning plural. So my behemah tachat behemtam, so why does the Torah mix it and use singular and plural? Shom nachad patar tuva. That proves to you that one seh could be used for many of their animals. So Amar Rav Hafanan Amitanin, Rav says, guess what? The Mishnah says that. Pudepo pavim arbe. We'll see this in a Mishnah soon, that you can use the seh multiple times. What that means is, you have a chamor, and so you redeem it with a seh. You give the seh to the Kohen. The Kohen can do what he wants with the seh. He can sell it back to you. Give it back to you. Let's say he does, and you have another chamor. You could use it again. So Rav, in a sense, is challenging Rav Hanina, because it already says in the Mishnah. The answer of Hanina, Tavid Amanitim Farsh, he's just explaining the Mishnah. He's not saying a separate halacha. He's explaining. Hachi Kamar, my tam, a podabo, pamim harbe, why are you allowed to use the seh multiple times? Shum sechaj, ben levi, poter kama pait pitre chamorim shel Yisrael. Because one seh of the Levi was able to exempt a lot of chamorim of Yisrael in the midbar. And therefore, that's how the halacha is formulated, podabo, pamim harbe. We'll pick it up with a fascinating dispute between Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish about the history of Kiddush Bechorot in the desert in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.